sleep. To be.
Well, hello, girls and gays.
Hola.
Welcome back to Rate, Debate, Recreate. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Keller.
And we're back for episode 2 of season 2. Hey, Logan.
Yes, Sammy.
What is the thing that you hate most in the world?
Wow. That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of things that I really just don't like. I think it would probably be bigots.
Bigots? PBH. That's a good answer. I don't hate cats, but I do hate something that has to do with that animal, which we will talk about shortly. So, if you're new to Rate Debate, I kind of just gave it away there, but that's okay.
Yours?
If you're new to Rate Debate,
I kept mine a secret.
You did. That's true. So what Logan and I do here, every week we pick a show based on a category that we choose earlier on. We rate that show on a scale of 1 to 10, debate which one is better, and then think of one aspect we would change and recreate the show. Sometimes that recreate term is used a little loosely, but we try to keep it fun. Trying to keep it fresh. So each week, like I said, we have a category, and our first category of this season, oh, damn it. I didn't change that from the doc. Our second category.
Copy and paste is a beauty.
Copy and paste.
Everyone.
Copy and paste. It's a disease. Our second category of the season is musicals we hate. This is going to be fun. I'm excited.
I am too.
My musical is the one, the only, Cats. Specifically the movie, but also just Cats in general.
And my show is Grease. Also, actually, I was going to say specifically the movie, but I think both the movie and the stage version. I hate the show less than I did when I chose it for this category.
I'm happy for you. We practice.
I still hate it.
Here.
But I think I have a more nuanced take now.
Okay. My problem is I really like the movie Grease, but I don't like Grease. We'll talk about it. I don't know if that makes sense.
I know it does, and I think I'm going to say something similar.
Okay. Well, let's get started. So first, we're just going to go through a little bit of summary. So I'll start with the summary of Cats the musical. It doesn't really have one, but the musical is based on a book of poetry, a children's book of poetry by T.S. Eliot. It's called Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. And I guess it was a childhood favorite of Andrew Lloyd Webber's, and he just like took it and literally like the poetry is like word for word the lyrics basically. I mean, I can have to change some things here and there, but it's basically just the poem set to music. And all that happens in Cats, I'm going to try to explain it. I don't really understand. So there are these cats and they are trying to get to this place called the Heaviside Lair, which as far as I can tell is like heaven. I don't know. Interrupt me if I'm wrong.
I think it's like reincarnation with a new life.
Oh, I thought it was heaven. I don't know. Okay.
I thought the whole thing was that they got like another shot at life.
Maybe. I guess cats have 9 lives. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This musical makes no sense. Anyway, and... Oh, sorry.
Hey, Willie.
Willie says hello. So they're trying to get to the Heaviside Lair, and they're Jellicle cats, and they have like all these rules about what makes a Jellicle cat that we won't get into. It's basically anything in the world is a Jellicle cat.
Basically, you have a personality.
Yes, any type of personality at all. They have this ball like once a year, I think, and there's this new cat named Victoria, and she's like thrown out on the street by some humans. And these cats take her in and they're like, come to the ball with us and we'll figure out who the Jellicle choice is. And so that happens in like the first 5 minutes. And then the rest of the musical is quite literally just like cats introducing themselves.
Yeah.
And then they go to this ball and then Idris Elba is bad. And he shows up and looks weirdly naked, although he's a cat. And
that was sexy.
I have a lot to say about Idris Elba as a cat that I'm not proud of. Okay. But so he then goes and he kidnaps some of the cats. Unclear reasons. I think he wants to be the jellical choice. Mm-hmm. And then there's a magical cat and they get all the cats back. And there's this other cat, Grizabella, who is supposed to be a sex worker, I think. Sex worker cat? Is that the form
I'm supposed to take? I have never picked up on that, but I, now that you say that, would buy it. My interpretation was that she used to be a glamour cat, but then something happened and she was rejected. So now she was just like a dirty, ugly street cat that everyone hated. Yeah.
She like went off with McCavity, I think, is the impression that I got. And I was kind of like, oh, she did some dirty things with McCavity and now everyone hates her.
Maybe.
But anyway, so Victoria, I keep calling to call her Francesca because it's Francesca Hayward, but Victoria is the only one who's nice to Grizabella, the glamour cat, and convinces everyone else to be nice to her too. And then she sings a song and they choose her as the jellical choice and she goes to the Heaviside Lair. And then Judi Dench gives a very long, weird monologue at the end. That's it. That's the story of cats.
That's a pretty accurate summation.
Thank you.
What are you rating it?
I'm going to rate cats 1 out of 10. what was it? I had a good one. Oh, 1 out of 10 old dudes, which is my nickname for old Deuteronomy.
Old dudes. I like that. Okay, Greece. Where to begin? So Greece tells a story of the summer love that happened between Danny Zuko and Sandy Olsen. And they had this like secluded summer experience. It was fleeting love, blah, blah, blah. It was perfect. Then they get back and find out that they're going to the same high school. In the movie, it's because she's from Australia, which I think they literally just wrote in because of what's her name?
What's her name? Olivia Newton-John.
For some reason, I was thinking Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Like, I know it's not her, but the name, like...
Another three-named queen.
yes, Olivia Newton-John. I think it's just because she's from Australia, because I'm 99% sure that's not in a stage show.
They did the same thing
I was in Xanadu. It, and I don't remember that.
In Xanadu, she also has an Australian accent, and she's supposed to be, like, a Greek goddess, and she's just Australian. Anyway, continue. It's a trend.
Anyway, in the movie, the only excuse they give is, oh, we had a change of plans.
Oh, yeah.
As if that's why she didn't go back home to Australia and somehow ended up in the same high school as Danny Zuko.
No, crazy.
Anyway, at the beginning of the show, they, like, meet each other, or they're introduced to each other again at the school. They both go back to their, like, respective friend groups and sing Summer Lovin', which basically replays the summer that they had. And Sandy's version is a lot more romantic, and Zuko's is blatantly a lot more sexual. Then Danny is, like, really addicted to her when they see each other in person, because he's trying to be like macho.
No, I know, but that's like almost the whole movie. Danny's just a dick.
Exactly, which is honestly a reason I hate this show. he tries to, like, maintain this attitude that he has in front of his, like, gang friends that he's in with the T-Birds. Sandy becomes friends with the Pink Ladies. They become friends, do all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. There's a dance. Honestly, like, the plot of this musical is kind of negligible at the end of the day, in my opinion. Ultimately, to me, the plot is, like, they have this love. Danny's a dick to her. She goes away. She gives him another chance. Danny's a dick to her. She goes away. Gives him another chance. Like, that happens just, like, multiple times. Until the end, when she decides to, like, change everything about herself for Danny. And then they live happily ever after and fly off into the sky, quite literally, in a car.
I actually really like that part.
So, I am going to give Grease a rating of 5 out of 10 Chixel Cream.
I was like, Jigsaw cream, what's that?
So in Grease Lightning, one of the lines is, yeah, you are supreme, the Jigsaw cream. So fun fact, I did the show in high school and I was Kanicki. So I sang Grease Lightning and I went to Catholic high school. And because of that, we obviously changed the lyrics. So it was like, you are supreme. I don't even remember what it was.
The Chicks Will Scream?
Yeah, the Chicks Will Scream. Like,
yeah.
And then instead of real pussy wagon, I said real dragon wagon. But anyway, what? The very first time I sang, we like did the song together, I was like singing. The choir had just learned it. And so I was like the choir, the group, like the ensemble had just learned it. So I was singing it with everyone. I was so nervous. And instead of saying the Chicks Will Scream, I said the Chicks Will Cream. And I got the nastiest glare from our director. Like, don't you ever do that again. And it's funny because that's totally something like I could see being done as like a joke, you know, as a high school prank. But I was legit was just like anxious out of my mind.
You just memorize the words. That's all you do.
Yeah. Chicks Will Cream.
All right. I'm going to rate the movie Grease a solid 7 out of 10. But I'm going to rate Grease like a 3 out of 10. And all of that is for the music, pretty much. I really like the music. It's fun.
Fair.
It's
that's fun, fair. You know? It is fun.
Yeah.
Shall we debate?
You have to rate
Cats. Oh, I have to rate Cats. Sorry. I'm going to rate Cats. I think I'm going to rate it 6 out of 10 dudes.
Oh!
When the category is shows we hate, what really happened was we each chose a show that we hate. But I don't hate Cats.
I don't hate Grease. I just don't like this show. I'm going to have a lot of trouble.
I don't mind the show, though, of Cats. I don't think it's amazing, but I feel like I just kind of get it. I'm like, I'm here for it.
Sure. Well, you can explain it to me. I guess let's get started. Do you want to start with Cats or do you want to start
Yeah, let's start with Cats.
Okay, so the first thing I want to do is talk about the movie a little bit, because I think this reignited a big discussion surrounding the musical itself and why it's so popular, which I've never understood why it's popular. Like, I like a few songs, I don't get it, and I've never seen it live, I've only seen clips, so like, who's to say? But when the movie came out, I think it really ignited like a firestorm around like how we engage with Cats as an entity. And a lot of that conversation surrounded these special effects and the CGI. And I would like to take a little bit just to talk about like that whole debacle. So apparently, because when it came out, I said some pretty rude things about how the CGI looked. And I still think it looks bad, but I don't think it's the special effects people's fault necessarily. So apparently these poor CGI workers were working for like 80, 90 hour weeks to get things done to Tom Hooper's deadline and standards.
Yikeroni, Tom Hooper.
Apparently he would send them nasty emails. He was very demanding. He would insult them at meetings. And this is all based on Wikipedia, but there are a lot of articles, and like this was pretty well documented at the time, because when the trailer came out, people were like, what the fuck is going on? And so I guess the gist of it is Tom Hooper doesn't really understand how special effects works. He had never like really worked with that level of special effects, like the special effects necessary it would take to turn people into cats. Mm-hmm. And he would see things and want them to just like completely throw away everything and go back to the drawing board. And he like wanted the cats to be at scale the entire time, which like we can talk about the cats being at scale because that's like a weird thing. But he just was really demanding. He didn't really understand how the art form works. He just like and didn't really care to learn, from what I can tell. So those CGI special effects workers spent 6 months making the 2-minute trailer. And then they had 4 months left to finish the rest of the movie. They finished it like hours before its premiere. Did you not know? I knew that they had like finished it pretty close, but they finished it hours before.
I hadn't seen the movie until literally this weekend, like when I was prepping for this. I didn't see it live. Or live.
I saw it at theaters. I saw it at theaters because I thought it was going to be like bad fun, but I just kind of think it's boring, but we'll just get to it. So, and then the other thing.
Also, wait, sorry. While we're on that topic of the movie, I want to clarify that my score is lower for the movie. Okay. I think this show is a 6 out of 10, but I would put the movie at like a 3 or 4 out of 10.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll get into it. And then on that special effects, same note. So at the Oscars that year, and I do remember this because I think I tweeted something like, oh, I don't want to think about Cats anymore. Because Rebel Wilson and James Corden got up and presented a visual effects award and just like shat all over Cats's visual effects. And I didn't really know the whole story or the background of like how horrible it was for a lot of those workers at the time. But like, the more I learn about it, it would be really frustrating to watch like two actors who maybe they did know how bad it was, maybe they didn't, get up and just like shit all over the movie that you worked 80, 90 hour weeks on and you probably know isn't that good, and like feel like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
not really your fault. You were in a horrible situation. So I do want to put that out there before I start shitting all over Cats, because I do think that really sucks. And fuck Tom Hooper. Fuck James Corden and Rebel Wilson for making fun of that. Even maybe they didn't know, but like, they, I think they probably did. And I have stuff to say about James Corden later anyway. So.
Sammy's a James Corden stan, if you didn't know.
Oh, can you tell by the tone of my voice? Can you tell? Okay. Anyway. So the musical itself, like I said, it's based on an old book of T.S. Eliot poetry. And T.S. Eliot is kind of a controversial figure a little bit, I think. I've never read a bunch of his poetry, but looking back through some of the research I did, a lot of his poems are filled with like racist and anti-Semitic language, including this one. There's some ethnic slurs in the poem. Is called Grout Taylor's Last Stand. The ethnic slurs did not make it into the musical, thank God.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, so it was a childhood favorite of Andrew Lloyd Webber's. And like, there are a bunch of things that like were problematic that we liked when we were children. That's not like the issue here. And obviously he took it out. So like, props to him, but maybe there's a reason we like, don't just take the words of things we love when we were kids and set them to music. And I think this musical is a really good example of that. And I have never, ever understood what people see in this. It's not even that it has no plot, because I think that's something that gets thrown out about it a lot. And I'm fine watching things where nothing really happens. And I think from the clips I've seen, like, the dancing is good. I think that's probably the biggest draw, if I'm not mistaken, like the movement and the dancing and the way things are staged and choreographed. Because to be honest, the makeup scares me a tad. but I just... have never quite understood the appeal for full-blown adults. Like, but then at the same time, I don't know anyone who like loved Cats as a kid. So I'm really, the disconnect really throws me off. And I don't know anyone who like loved that T.S. Eliot book of poems as a kid. Like, maybe you can help me there, because this is just like a total miss for me in so many ways. Memory is a great song. Everything else I could do without. It's just like
not total even Jellicle nonsense. Songs for Jellicle Cats.
No, it's so scary. Jellicle, and then it's so happy. Jellicle. It's horrifying. I actually like the song that introduces Old Deuteronomy, the one that's like, I like that song. But that's it. And obviously I'm missing something. It like has been running forever. It won a bunch of awards. Like, What do I not get, Logan? Please explain it to me.
Okay, I'm going to try to explain it. I'm going to like start off with this caveat where I'm going to like talk about the things I think Cats is like does well. The caveat is I don't love the show. I just like kind of like it and I think it's fun. I just don't think it is like as atrocious as a lot of times it's made out to be. So I think, okay, this is maybe like, I don't know if this is even like a legit argument to make, but I really feel like, so for the past 3 years when I lived in New York, I'm in New Mexico for 3 months, everyone. I'm like acting like I'm like gone. When I was in New York though, I lived with two cats for 3 years. And like, I had never lived with cats before that. And I really feel like I learned how like odd of a creature cats are. Okay. And so to me, this musical is like, what if we just like made a show that's like a review of all the personalities of different cats and how weird and specific they are. And we make it really campy and dancey and weird. And I'm like, when I think about it that way, I'm like, honestly, I could get high and like think of that. Like, I would like look at Tuna the cat and be like, what if you were like, what if there's a song about you?
Tuna the Gumby cat. I don't know. I totally get that. And I'm all for things that are stupid and fun. But I think this musical just like totally switches so much. And I'm about to like kind of poo-poo something, whereas like maybe you could come at me and say something I like is just as tonally dissonant, but I think this musical, particularly the movie, which is the most exposure I've had with it, mm-hmm. is so tonally dissonant. And like, it starts off, it's pretty brutal. This cat gets this thrown into the street in a box, and then these cats show up and they are alternately awful to her, nice to her, weirdly maybe acting like they're trying to have sex with her, and then just like there's no
consistency. But the thing is I'm like, that's kind of like act. The tea with cats, like you introduce one and they're all gonna have like this like some of them are gonna hiss and be like, get the fuck away from me. Some of them are gonna be like, can I like lick your cooter? Like
the thing is, they all do all of those things. Like they're all like, ooh, we hate you, no, we like you. It's like, okay, maybe that's how cats work, fine. But then you move into like, oh, we're just supposed to watch these like cats be really totally weird, and then we're supposed to be really really sad for Grisabella, and Memory is definitely the best song in the show. Mm-hmm. And it is a sad song, and it's a beautiful song, but I just can't. It's really hard for me to like disconnect everything else that I know about all of these cats. Yeah. Why isn't Victoria like that then, if that's how cats are? Or like, why isn't, you know, I don't know. I have a really hard time with this, and I know it's, I shouldn't be thinking about it this hard. It's cats. Like, they're just cats. But to have it be, like, so tonally all over the place and, like, oh, it's scary, and then it's funny, and then it's sad, and then it's, like, lyrically beautiful. It's just, like, we need to pick a couple of these lanes and stay in them. Like, we yeah. can't just veer off into, like, 70 different lanes, which I think the musical itself does. Not to even speak of like the chaos the movie brings to you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know. We can like move on to talking a little bit about Grease, and I think this might be a good jumping off point, because the biggest problem I have with this movie, besides the fact that it's not even campy enough to be like fun bad, it's just like boring, is Tom Hooper does not know how to direct choreography to save his fucking life. And there is some like decently good, Francesca Hayward is a literal ballerina. She's a wonderful dancer. And there's some very good dancers in this show. Taylor Swift included, just kidding. But I think the choreo is like pretty good in this movie. But Tom Hooper, there are so many cuts, like so many cuts. And the camera is either following certain leapers instead of letting them like leap across the screen, or it's filming them from super far away, like way more far away than necessary, which I assume is to give you the scale, because they're supposed to be like the actual size of cats, which they aren't even the actual size of cats. But it's just like they're doing fairly interesting things with their bodies, and everything about the way the big dance sequences are filmed, it's either cut, 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 follow really close up this one cat so you can barely see what they're doing with their body, or it's extremely far away so you can be like, oh look, they're cat's eyes. Whereas by contrast, I think Grease films choreography excellently. Grease the movie, like they have really great dancers, they have good choreo, they know how to do that. And I don't understand when we like lost the ability to do that, because that happens quite a bit in like newer movie musicals. And I don't want to like disparage all movie musicals. I really like a lot of new movie musicals, but I think I even had this problem with The Prom when it came out, which like we don't have to get into that, but I just thought like there's some choreo here that is like maybe fine, but we're not filming it well at all. We're just like not even trying, you know.
Toupé. I have to say one more thing about Cats before we move to Grease. Okay. Do you watch Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Yes, I do.
It's like
I do like that Cats.
The second to last episode of this series finale is this episode about like Cats, and it's like this whole like kind of conspiracy that Cats is just fake, and that it's basically just like actors that don't have jobs that are really egocentric just go on stage and start singing. So Titus does that, and then he like becomes one of the Cats, and he's like learning all this like conspiracy stuff, and he's like, but I thought this was written by Andrew Lloyd Webber. And he's like, look closely. And it zooms into the poster and it says Andrew Lolo Baloney. He's like, no one ever actually reads it. And then he's like, and T.S. Eliot. Eliot is an anagram for to lie.
To lie.
I love that show. And I love the episode about Cats.
Yeah, I almost agree. That's probably what it is. And I also, we can leave Cats in the dust after this, but I took some other just like random notes throughout watching the movie. And I'll just like go through a few of them because they're making me upset. The Cats at all times look like they're about to have an orgy, like even when they're mad, which like maybe that's not like a net bad, but it's just strange. The cockroach sequence is the most cursed thing I've ever watched in my life. Jason Derulo is good in this movie. He knows what movie he's in.
Yeah, he does.
He's good. The words make no sense, which we talked about how maybe Grisabelle is supposed to be like, is that like an allegory for a sex worker? Like, what is this allegory here? What did she do? The words are like, the postman sighed as he scratched his head and thought she ought to be dead. I have no idea what's going on with Jennifer Hudson. I have no idea why they hate her. I can't understand. And I think that's the other thing. I don't care if there's like no plot or things are ridiculous. I don't know what's going on in this show. I don't know what anything means. I don't know who anyone is. But yeah, anyway. The Buster for Jones song. Just like, why are we letting James Corden continue to do musicals? He was fine in Into the Woods. And then all of a sudden we were like, let's give him everything. And I get he was like famous in England or whatever, but I don't know why they foisted him onto us. I'm upset about it. Anyway, Idris Elba is hot in this movie.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I'm upset. Yeah. I would become a furry. Apologize to the furry community.
I would make it very clear that I'm very pro furry.
I am too, but I'm sorry that this is the representation they're getting.
Yeah. Yes, I thought you were apologizing on my behalf to the
No, absolutely not.
I was like, I support furries.
Idris Elba is hot in this movie. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, agreed.
James Corden and Rebel Wilson are also in a different movie than everybody else, but I don't like that movie better. I like it worse. So I love Judi Dench, but that woman was Roxy Hart. And why did they do this to her? I don't know. Why did she do this to herself? I just wrote, memory would be great if she wasn't a cat. And then the ending, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I like the end monologue. It's the funniest, weirdest part of the show. It's what I wish the rest of the movie was like. Just like Judi Dench staring at me for 5 minutes, explaining to me how you talk to a cat, explaining to me that a cat is not a dog in very like low terms. I want more of that. And I wish everyone else is like staring at her just like lovingly, which is what I would do. So yeah, that's.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. Grease.
Okay. Grease. I am just going to preface this by saying that I have a shit ton of thoughts to say, and I'm like going to try my very best to be thorough and concise at the same time. And the second thing I have to say is that I feel like my opinions have shifted a lot. I still don't like this show. I want to make that very clear. I really don't. But I think I like legitimately hated it. And honestly, I think a part of that was because of like my experience, like
sure.
being like closeted in high school, trying to play this like hyper masculine sex addict character. Yeah. And I'm like over that now.
I'm glad for you.
Thank you. I'm like working through that. Okay. I'm going to start off, excuse me. I'm like still getting used to the altitude in New Mexico. It's fucking insane.
This is the second
It's 7,200 feet here.
Wow. Yeah. Keep chugging
that. And I left my inhaler in New York.
That was horrible.
Yeah. Bad decision. Okay. So I want to start talking about the things that I hate. And then I do want to like give it some grace. But since the topic is shows we hate, let's get into it. The first and overarching theme of why I hate the show so much is that it reeks toxic masculinity and like in a really, really overt and to me disgusting way. A few examples of that. In Summer Lovin', the cutesy song, literally Kaneki sings, "Did she put up a fight?" So like, okay, ha ha ha, did she put up a fight? But like, break that down. Did she consent to sex or did you rape her? Is literally what Kaneki is trying to say there.
Yes, exactly.
Vince Fontaine, who's like this like probably 30s news like radio caster, literally gets with Marty, a high school mm-hmm. girl. And like, to me, it's implied that he like kind of roofies her a little bit or like drugs her mm-hmm. in a little bit. Fucked up. Danny literally like initiates assault on Sandy at the drive-in when they're watching this movie together, and she like stands up for herself and leaves right away, and then he sings a song about how she stranded him at the drive-in and he's so worried about what people will think about that
at school, and like that's the first thing he says.
And you're like, kind of, I don't know, I get the impression that you're supposed to be on his side, not like anti-Sandy. But that, yeah, that it's like,
you're supposed to feel bad.
Last one, this was just like kind of funny. Sandy saying, "The only man a girl can depend on is her daddy." I'm like, hey, that's
fair. Not wrong. Just kidding.
So yeah, overall, like that to me, and like all of this is existing, and there's no like wink to the audience that like we're like, we're portraying this, but this isn't what we're embellishing or whatever you want to mm-hmm. say. It's very much portrayed as like, this is what's cool and this is what's fun and like correct. We talked about in Dogfight how there's a lot of toxic masculinity,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like in that show, which granted it's more recent, but in that show, I think you do get a lot more of a wink to the audience. Sure. Like, look at these like toxic fucks. Like,
yeah.
In this show, you don't really get that. And that's kind of, I don't know. That's always been frustrating for me. Okay, now just talking aside from that, like, if you break Grease down, literally, the only stakes in this whole movie are they going to end up together? There's no, like, yeah.
Yeah, but fair. Keep going. Sorry.
No, that's a fair point. But with, between, I guess, the protagonists.
Sure.
Like, there's no side story. There's no like, I don't, and I'm not like particularly rooting for these characters. And I think that's kind of frustrating because there are so many instances in this show and movie of like friendship coming up, of gender roles, of like labels that people put on you, of, and that like you may not agree with within yourself, but instead of like bringing those issues up and making some kind of commentary or nod to them, it raises them and then just like completely ignores it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that just feels like an endorsement of it. Period. Yeah.
And I think you're right. And I think I was a little more thrown off by just the exaggerated nature of Dogfight than you were. But I still agree with you. Like, I think in Dogfight, you're supposed to watch it and be like, oh, like this is mm-hmm. awful.
Yeah.
And in this, I do think there are instances where they're like definitely like kind of making fun of Danny and his friends. But
mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
But like, you're right. They raise up these issues of like I think a good example of, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that Mary Sue article that we both found independently. And she makes, the writer of that article, it's on the Mary Sue, her name is Teresa Giacino. And she makes maybe like the best argument I've heard for why this is possibly could be read as a feminist movie. But she still kind of focuses on the thing that I hate people do when they focus on this movie, which is they act like the only argument against it not being feminist is that Sandy changes for Danny, when everything else you just mentioned with Vincent, what's his nuts, like, with, yeah, it just, there's so much other stuff. The character of Cha-Cha is like a list. Okay. The character of Cha-Cha is like a whole nother like racist issue that is just like the way she's portrayed and the way that character is used, and the fact that her name is like Cha-Cha. And she's the only like non-white character there. It's just like there's that whole issue. There's the rape issue. There's the fact it's like a very fat phobic movie.
Oh yeah.
The guy who's, I don't remember what that character's name is, but the guy who has a crush on her tells her, yeah, no, him too. I'm not even talking about him. I'm talking about the girl who they're like making fun of her. She does like the little buck thing. And she seems just like perfectly chill with being made fun of. And that boy who has a crush on her says to her, there's more to you than fat. And she's just like, okay. And it's just so.
It like goes over her head too.
It does. And it's just so, she's just so okay with being treated in that manner. And on the other hand, she's like thin and pretty. Like it's just, you know what I mean? Like it's.
Yeah.
It's just a. Anyway, sorry. It pisses me off when people make the argument that like the only reason people talk about Grease being non-feminist is that Sandy changes for Danny. So the writer of this article, she basically makes the argument that at the time the musical is set, so not necessarily the time the musical comes out, which is in the 70s, I think, right? But at the time the musical is set, Sandra Dee is the poster girl for things that for a teenage girl, an adult wanted to see. Like, she was a perfect all-American girl. And teens at that time were starting to reject that image. So, like, she uses that to kind of say, like, establishing Sandy as that and then having Sandy change. She's not changing for Danny, but really becoming more true to herself. And she sings that song that's like, you must start anew, don't you know, you must do. And it's supposed to be very empowering, like goodbye to Sandra Dee. And I think that's reaching. I understand the argument. And she also points out that like Danny liked Sandy before she changed, which is true. He did. But I think that's a really reaching argument because we have been given, we have no reason to believe Sandy wants to become this other person. Mm-hmm. She is frankly quite boring, like Krista says, and she gives absolutely no indication that she wants to become this other type of person. She doesn't like cigarettes. She likes Danny when he's nice to her over the summer at the beach. She completely screams and yells at him whenever he's a dick, and then for some reason just turns around and is like, oh, I guess he's cute, and changes, with also giving us like no indication as to why she's forgiven him. She just has, like, it's like the next day and she's over it. And so I think like you said, this musical has all the hallmarks of something that could be like really interesting and could subvert gender roles and could be a strong feminist show. We can talk about Rizzo too, which I think she's great, but she also gets the short end of the stick, but it just doesn't capitalize on them at all. That being said, I still really like the movie and have a lot of fun.
I think that's a generous interpretation, but I see where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. Okay, some more things that I want to talk about that I hate about Grease. So you mentioned her song at the end, Sandy's song. Okay, so Sandy, that literally her whole pivotal moment, the moment where everything changes for her, is in that song, and the last lines of it are, Sandy, you must start anew. Don't you know what you must do? Hold your head high, take a deep breath and sigh. Goodbye to Sandra Dee. That, to me, at least when I was watching, that is the only time you see her giving Danny any grace. and like in her showing him towards the end after he's been a dick to her so many times, like she just all of a sudden is like, you know what, I do need to change. And that to me is why I don't buy that, why I think it's a very valid like thing to say about, you know, her breaking free, whatever. We're just not given any indication of that at any point in the show or movie. Also, something I want to say about the, like, it's a product of its time argument, which I see so much about Grease, is like, okay, yes, it came out in 1971. It's like, takes place in the 50s, and the stage was in 1971. The movie was in 78. But, like, let's not forget that fucking Hair came out in 1968, like mm-hmm. almost a full decade before, or a full decade before the movie did. And like, here's my take on that. Like, yes, when something comes out that's problematic, we should call it out and discuss it. And like, there are shows that come out in this time and age that we call problematic and that we talk about and have a discussion about. But like, to me, that's like if 50 years down the line, people look at a show that came out this decade that we call problematic and they're like, oh, it was just a product of its time. Like, it was, but it was also heavily criticized probably by most likely marginalized people whose voices weren't taken seriously. So like, to say that it's a product of its time, I feel like is just this total, like, it's seen as this total band-aid for all the issues in it. But like, I don't think that everyone thought it was a product of its time in 1970s. I think a lot of people probably saw through the like disgusting rape culture and toxic masculinity that is like, to me, promoted in that movie.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think I will say I want to give it a little credit. I really.
Yeah, I definitely am going to, I have good things to say about it. Yeah, too.
I want to give it a little credit. I hadn't actually seen this movie in quite some time. And I forgot about the whole section where Danny like takes up sports, which yeah. I found pretty funny. I mean, he's like overly violent during most of them to the point where the coach has to be like, you know, there are some things you can do where you don't have to touch anyone. but it's like a pretty funny sequence, mostly because like John Travolta is pretty funny during it. And it got me thinking that like this could have been a pretty funny, interesting movie if like both Danny and Sandy were attempting to change. Hold on, you gotta get off me. Go. Okay. If both Danny and Sandy were attempting to change for each other the whole time, because I forgot that he attempts to do that. I forgot that he like tries to be a jock because he thinks that's what she wants. And it got me thinking like there could have been a version of this movie that still had all the same songs, still had like the same vibe and the same like fun pop, like poppy musical feel. But it could have been Sandy starting her transformation much earlier and kind of like fucking it up, and Danny like trying to be a jock and also fucking that up. And then at the end, them both being like, oh, we already like each other how we are. We don't need to change. We already like each other. Like that could have been cute.
Yeah. I agree. And I think we'll maybe even see a little bit of that soon.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry.
No. No, I'm glad you said it because I agree that would be nice if it was there. Some things that I do want to like give to Grease, and I think some of the things that I was highlighting about like feeling less hatred towards this show. First of all, especially I want to say about the movie, like the movie is really good. Like,
I
think the actors and actresses are really good. The choreography is like incredible. So like, good. It's just, I think it's really good. For me, I specifically think like the text itself that the movie is like showing, that's what I think is bad. And I think it's hard to get away from that for me. But at the same time, like, how can you watch some of those performances and not be like, oh my God, they were so good. Like they really, yeah. really were.
Yeah.
I think John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John, Stockard Channing, oh my God, whoever plays Frenchie, I love her.
And she's so good. I don't know her name, but she's wonderful.
Like, I think they do a really great job.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that, like, something that it has going for it is it has this, like, really, really unique and pointed camp mm-hmm. / like, vision of the world that it goes for, and it's so weird, but it works. And like, to me, it almost, it's reminiscent of, I'm not necessarily saying it's like in the same ranks of, but to me, it's in the realm of Fosse. Like the, mm-hmm. it's because it's down to the way they move their bodies in this show. Like, it's so specific and weird, yeah. and like not real, but it is real in this world. And I love that about Grease. On top of that, I know I just mentioned choreography, but I think it's like deserves its own talking point. Choreography in both the stage version and in the movie is incredible. Like, mm-hmm. you have so many different like time period, like types of choreo that you go through with the different types of music in the show. Some of the choreo is just like iconic still, like Grease mm-hmm. Lightning and Hand Jive. And I don't know, I think it's a really unique choreography. It's not like a lot of other shows of the time, or even like still today. Like it,
yeah.
I was watching the, when I watched it, the freaking dance scene.
Yeah,
like it's the, so good. The ball, or what's it called? Mm-hmm. The school dance.
School dance, yeah.
It's incredible. Like, yeah. they're doing some crazy stuff with each other in this like partner dancing. And mm-hmm. My jaw was like dropped during it.
Yeah. And I think everyone in that scene does a really good job at like letting their character come through in the dancing as well. Like the way Danny, that's their couple name, Danny and Sandy dance is like very Danny and Sandy. The way Rizzo dances is very Rizzo. The mm-hmm. way Frenchie and the guy she's with dance is very them. Like everyone is very much in their character, which you could say like, maybe that should be obvious that everyone should be in character when they're dancing, but the dancing is so specific to mm-hmm. the different characters of different couples, which I really like.
Yeah, I agree. I like still to this day, I remember perfectly, I can do it exactly correctly, the choreo to the dance break and We Go Together, to the point where it's like a thing with my friends that I'm like so close with from musical, will literally just be like 5, 6, 7, 8.
When You Wish podcasts are a visual like, medium.
Yeah, I know. That's like that's for our OnlyFans. but yeah, I think that I really, really love the choreo. And then the last thing that I think I really love that I don't know if I gave enough credit to in my like past versions of myself that hated the show more is I think that the Pink Ladies and Sandy is a really strong group. I think it's really rare and refreshing to see, especially if we're talking about a product of its time, especially when it came out, I think it's really rare to see a girl group that is like tight and like, yeah, they like talk about men, but they also talk about other things and their friends like yeah. first. Their friendships aren't formed around the men, and for the most part they're like really on each other's sides, like mm-hmm. Rizzo playfully makes fun of Sandy with Sandra D, but like she's not even that mad about it. Sandy's not even that mad about it. She's like, were you mm-hmm. mocking me?
Make fun of me, Rizzo.
Yeah, and then it like doesn't, it's not really a problem much past that.
Yeah,
they fight, but like make up, I don't know, I really love that group.
Yeah.
And then I also have a lot of thoughts about the interpretation you were talking about, that we read the same article about Mary mm-hmm. the Mary Sue thing. I have a lot of thoughts on that. I really love that interpretation. I don't necessarily think it's what they were going for. I think it's a really generous interpretation, but mm-hmm. I love it. And I'm going to be unpacking it a lot more in my recreate.
Yay! Wow.
So that's pretty much it for my thoughts on Grease. I love the show. I really do. Like, I think it's fun. I just, like, yeah. hate the text. And I don't like yeah. the plot or the story or the characters. I just think that the performances are really well done.
Yeah. I do too. I really like the movie. I really like Rizzo, except I think Rizzo is like funny and she's like kind of mean, but like in a well-rounded like way.
Like, yeah. It feels like a defense too. Like yes. it doesn't feel like pure evil or anything. It just feels like she's like, back off. Like
she's putting up a bit of a front, but she's like a strong girl. She's funny. She obviously cares a lot about her friends. She's like pretty much got your back. And I think like, I love the scene at the end when her and I forget which girl she's with, but they're like on the Ferris wheel, just being friends.
I think it's Marty.
It's Marty, yeah. And then stupid Kaneki comes up and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And she's like, oh, yay. I was like, this is another point where I've been like, Riz, you don't need no man. You don't. Mm-mm. Cool.
She doesn't.
Anyway. I guess like my bop list for Cats is pretty short. I like the Rum Tum Tugger song. I like Old Deuteronomy, like I said. I like Shimbleshanks the Railway Cat. And I like the McCavity song, but mostly because Taylor Swift sings it. And I do think Taylor Swift in that movie is not good, but she is like the campy bad I was looking for the whole time. She was like the campy bad I was looking for from everyone else. And Memory. That's it. And the addressing of Cats, narrated by Judi Dench.
Jellicle Songs for Jellicle Cats. I love that song. That would definitely be on my bop list. All right. Grease bop list. Summer Nights. Hopelessly Devoted to You. You're the One That I Want. Grease Lightning. Absolutely. Freddie My Love, which is not in the movie, but I'll talk about in Might Recreate. And We Go Together in the Hand Jive.
Okay. You know, like, did you say You're the One That I Want?
No, I didn't. Wow. I don't really care for that
That's
song.
That's your tea. Okay. All right. Should we get into the recreates?
Let's do it.
Okay. So for my recreate, I didn't really know what to do because, like, I don't know. What do you change about this musical to make it better? Like, it's about cats. You can't like change the fact that they're cats because that's the whole point. I don't know. So I decided I was just going to take one of my favorite children's poetry books and make it a musical like Cats. So I took The Light in the Attic by Shel Silverstein, which I used to read all the time as a young child. It's also a children's poetry book. It's filled with funny, silly characters. It has some dark themes, but it's actually dedicated to his daughter who died when she was 11. So knowing that kind of makes some of the death themes slightly sadder. But it was actually banned, I think, from a few schools because of its dark themes. There's like a poem where a little girl wants a pony so bad and her parents won't get her one and she like dies because she just can't get over it. It's pretty dark. So, but they're all written in like, if you like know Shel Silverstein, they're all written in like little short phrases that are very witty and funny and like easy for kids to grasp onto. So I really liked him as a kid. So all these poems are really short, but so are the T.S. Eliot poems. So you can make nonsense out of anything. So what I did is I just took some songs from Cats. So I took the prologue, I took the Naming of Cats and a couple of other ones and just kind of fit in poems that I would use for those songs and then wrote a little song or took a little outskirt of the song and used some of the words from the Shel Silverstein poem set to Andrew Lloyd Webber's music. I hope that made sense. Okay, and I'm gonna have to remember the melodies to these, so we'll see if I can get them right. So actually I'm gonna pause because I don't Jellicle songs for Jellicle cats. Jellicle dun 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 dun. Okay, so for the prologue or Jellicle songs for Jellicle cats, that obviously has to be the poem A Light in the Attic for the A Light in the Attic musical. Which, have you ever read A Light in the Attic or read any of
those? Yeah, but I don't remember anything, but I know I have.
A Light in the Attic, the poem is about like, basically, like, Shel Silverstein is, like, narrating it, and he's, like, looking at the light in the attic, and you, the reader, are the person inside looking outside. Like, you're in the house looking out. Mm-hmm. And someone can see you looking out. So, for the light in the attic song goes, there's a light in the attic, I can see it from the outside, and I know that you're looking out. All the lights on in your attic, in your head, in your house. I'm on the outside and you're looking out. And that's how it goes the whole time.
I love that. That's a bop. That's on my bop list.
That's on my bop list too.
That's on my light in the attic bop list.
Okay, great. And then the next one I came up with was The Naming of Cats, which is a song that scares me because they're just like whispering it the whole time. And it's very ominous. So there's a poem in A Light in the Attic called What If, and it's all about having a bad dream. And that's kind of what the naming of Cat sounds like to me, because it's like, and it shouldn't be scary, right? Because they're just like, this is how you name cats.
Yeah.
It sounds really horrifying. So the whole premise of the what if poem is like, you're at night and you're about to, it's nighttime and you're about to go to bed and you're thinking, what if this, what if this, what if this, like, what if all these bad things happen? So basically you would just kind of whisper the poem the whole time, and it goes, last night, while I lay thinking here, some what ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long, and then it goes into the rest of it. I'm not going to whisper the whole thing. It would take too long.
So is this taking place in Britain?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess so. I don't know. And then the Gumby Cat. Or could just be
an Olivia Newton-John thing.
Sure, whatever. We don't have to explain why she's from Australia. It's fine. Yeah. So the next one I had was Gumby Cat, or Jenny Any Dots. Jenny Any Dots, that's her name. So Jenny Any Dots is kind of lazy during the day, and then she really comes to life at night when the mice and the cockroaches come out, right? So I really focused on the lazy part of this, and I chose the poem Hammock, which is all about this little boy who has a hammock and he can't hang it up because the trees are too far apart. The hammock song will go, I have a lazy boy in mind, his name is Benny Lazy Bones. He sits down in the grass all day because his hammock's too short. He cannot reach the trees, he says. The breeze, he says, is blowing soft. He sits and sits and sits all day. And that's what makes a lazy boy. I made up that last melody. I can't remember how it goes.
That was really good. I would put that one on my box.
Good. That's what I'm here for. And then I'm only going to do this last one. Because it's actually, I'll do this one and then I'll do memory.
Yeah, you have to do memory.
Have to do memory. So Rum Tum Jugger is going to be memorizing Mo. So Memorizing Mo is a guy who memorized the dictionary, and he's worried that no one will want to marry him because of that. It's just sad. It's very Olive Ostrovsky. So, you know how Rum Tum Tugger goes? It's like, Rum Tum Tugger, ba-na-na-na-na. So it'll go, Memorizing Mo's a curious guy. He learned all the words in the dictionary. And that's all I came up with for that one. So, and then I'll skip. I made up one for Mungo Jerry and Rumple Teaser. I made one out for Old Dude, but we'll put those on our OnlyFans. And
yes,
the last one I'll do is Memory, which I picked the poem Sour Face Anne because in that poem she has a fur coat, and Jennifer Hudson also has a fur coat, even though she's a cat. So don't know why she needs that, but that's cool. So it goes. Sour face Anne, with your chin in your...
I want the SJB version.
Wait, let me call her up. Get her on the line. Okay. I can't do it. Okay. Sour face Anne, with your chin in your hand, have you never been pleased? You used to complain that you had no fur coat, and now you complain of the fleas. Yay!
Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Someone,
I got my lighter out for that. That's like going to be in the OnlyFans version.
Someone put the Light in the Attic musical. Someone come up with that.
Yeah, I like, made a Cats musical. Really like
we
that.
Could make a Shel Silver Sea musical.
I was into that idea.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, so for this recreate, I wanted to actually try to make Grease better. And as I mentioned my critiques, my number one problem with Grease is that it reeks of toxic masculinity, and there's no wink to the audience that, like, admonishes it in any way. And the whole message is just, a man can treat you like shit over and over and over again, but you can still change everything about yourself to meet the standards that he wants. I think that that is what I get from the movie, despite that, like, wonderful interpretation that we read. Mm-hmm. I'm more inclined to go with this one. So I think we should change that. Okay, so a few things. I have a couple of thoughts, and then I mainly want to focus on the characters Sandy and Danny of what I would change. Mm-hmm. So at first, I want to say that I thought this was going to be, like, really difficult, but I actually don't think it's that hard. Like, I think a lot of the things are there, and like I was saying about the unique, like, perspective or vision or camp, whatever we want to call it, that Grease has, like, that makes for a really great musical, I think. And I think we can just change some things about the show and keep everything else that it does well and lean even more into it, like, make that even more of a focal point. Mm-hmm. Other than that, from, like, a broad perspective, I just want to say that we should blatantly update the script and take out all the problematic stuff, like, mainly all the stuff that I mentioned when I first talked about what I hated about it. The bad lyrics, the rape culture, all of that stuff, let's just take it out. So one song that I want to add to the show, or to add to the movie to make it better, is Freddie My Love, or Keep It in the stage version. I love this song. This is, so in the stage version, Marty has a song called Freddie My Love. And the whole concept is, it takes place during their, like, sleepover night. And the whole concept is that she is singing about her Marine that is, like, overseas or something, but she's mm-hmm. writing love letters to him. And you, like, think that she's in love with him. It's this whole thing. But the song is very tongue-in-cheek. And she's not actually in love with him. He's just, like, her sugar daddy and sending her stuff. Like, the lyrics literally talk about, like, oh, my love, da, 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 like, but then he's like, he got me a cashmere sweater, and just, like, goes through all the things that, like, he's, like, gotten for her. And I love that. I'm about that life. and I think we should keep it / add it to the movie.
Sugar daddy visibility.
For real. Okay. So now let's talk about the characters of Sandy and Danny. First of all, Sandy, in this version, I do think that we should lean into that interpretation that we both talked about, into, instead of Sandy changing herself for Danny, Sandy becoming more herself and breaking free of, like, barriers that she's been holding herself by because of the, like, model child and model family of the 1950s. So I think we should just, like, really lean into that and make that part of the plot point outside of her relationship with Danny. And it's not to be outside of it because it coincides, but that gives her another level of depth that we're just not given in her, like, smitten by Danny character. Mm-hmm. So first, I would add another solo song for Sandy, and I would want it to be about how she feels trapped and is playing this caricature that's not her, kind of like Reflection from Mulan or like Breathe from In the Heights. Wow. Sammy gave me the suggestion to say Reflection.
I know, you're acting surprised. Come on.
But I would love to hear her being like singing. Oh my God. I'm sorry. It just started like blizzarding all of a sudden.
Oh.
Okay. We're past that
it's
now.
Like 75 degrees here.
I would love to see her singing about this inner struggle, about her like feeling the need to be a certain way because of her family or upbringing or because that is what society wants. And that way we actually get to see that maybe that's not the real her. That's this facade that she's putting on. Mm. Second, to hammer down that point a little bit more, I really, really think that we should see her like struggle with this identity play out not between her and Danny, but between her and the Pink Ladies. Like, this is just a dumb example, but like this is more the vibe I'm going for. I want to see like a scene where they're like trying to make her over, which we kind of get, but not really, where they're trying to make her over and her being like, lipstick? My mother would never. like something like that. First of all, that's a direct quote from Carrie, the musical, which I love, and may or may not make an appearance on this show sometime. But like giving her that, like it can be comedic like that, but even just like, because I feel like that would fit the style of this show, but it's a way that shows that like she has these other pressures that we're maybe not privy to about why she is the way that she is. And I would love to see that happen with the Pink Ladies and see how she's not allowing herself to be free and let go of those barriers in a effort to relate to her friends. And that way, at the end, the change that she makes is not, it's for her. It's to bring her closer to her friends. And the last part of it is like, okay, Dani, you have another shot. But it's not, I'm changing myself for you. It's like, look, you've been an ass. I found myself. I'm free. I'm happy with myself. I'll give you one more chance, you little bitch. That's what I want from Sandy. So Dani, I think he just needs to be way more likable, first of all. Like, period. And then what I think we should do with his character, and maybe a way that we could show that, is I think we should play on his insecurities a lot more. I think he needs to have his story arc being, he needs to overcome his insecurity of expressing his emotions in front of his friends and letting go of that like mask facade that he puts on in front of them. And that is how he changes for Sandy, period. He needs to be the one to change for her. Because think about it, like he, to me, he's in the wrong the whole time. Sandy doesn't have a reason to change because she's been herself for the most part this whole time. He is being like this one person, you know, when he's in person with her, and then this other person when he's with around friends and stuff, and he's just an asshole. So his story arc, I think, should be that he has to overcome this like insecurity that he has and like open up to his friends and be like, look, I'm not always this like macho man, like Grease Lightning character. The other thing is basically, I think the only time that we really see Dani letting his guard down with Sandy and being like a likable guy is at the very beginning in the beach scene when they're like showing his their summer relationship, and then a little bit we see it during the dance, but then he literally like dances with Cha-Cha at the end, doesn't give a shit about it.
I also think when he first sees her, he's like obviously very excited, but he immediately is like,
oh, yeah, it's like 5 seconds. So I think that we need to add a lot more like moments where he's being like that, where he's being vulnerable with her. And I think what you can do is like really, really make it an extreme of how he acts with just her and how he acts with his friends. Because in the movie, we really mostly see the latter.
Yeah.
So, And then the last thing, like, can he please just like not assault her at the drive-in? And then, like, let's just take that part out, please. So that's what I would change about Grease to make it a better musical. And I think I would give that a high rating. Like, that sounds like a much more fun show.
That does sound like a fun show. And, like, Grease is already fun. So changing the actual text would just make it that much better.
I agree.
I love it. Wow. Go team. That was really fun. Should we talk about next week's
app? Next week, I'm happy to give the preview.
Give it up.
Category.
Oh, this will be fun. Sorry,
I'm excited.
Just saw it.
Category is Life's a Drag.
I don't know.
So hope you tune in next week.
Please tune in next week and follow us. We are going to tell everyone to follow us on our socials because we do not do that. Please do it. If you have I'm making sure I got our Twitter right.
Rate Debate One.
Yes. So please do it. So if you have a Twitter. You can follow us at RateDebate1. We're on Twitter. If you have an Instagram, I believe we're just RateDebateCreate.
Yeah, everything else, we're just RateDebateRecreate. So Instagram and TikTok. And we're going to be bringing back some TikTok. So
We're going to bring back those whiskey shot talent challenges along with some new stuff. So yeah, give us a follow. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. I've always wanted to say that. I can now. Happy for me. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you next week. Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.